Please turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. Amen.
Right, well, we've prayed. We've prayed that God would speak to us through his word. We're going to be looking at some of the words in Revelation 5 and also chapter 6 and chapter 7 as well. And it is Remembrance Sunday today, and actually this year, 2015, is the 75th anniversary, of the Battle of Britain. And anyone know anything about the Battle of Britain? Some of you will do. The Battle of Britain was an air battle between the RAF, the Royal Air Force, and the German Luftwaffe in the summer and the autumn of 1940, so 75 years ago. I think we've got some pictures of some aeroplanes there. There's a couple of Spitfires. And it was an amazing battle because even though the British planes were outnumbered by 3-1, so outnumbered 3-1, they defeated the Germans, and the victory was significant because it prevented Hitler's planned invasion of the United Kingdom. And it was a decisive moment in the outcome of World War II, a key, key victory. And some historians consider the Battle of Britain to be the most important battle in the history of warfare. You could argue about that, but some of them do argue that no battle before or since has held so much importance as this one. Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister of the day. I think we all know what he looks like, but there is a picture. There he is. And he said some very famous words, words that have become very famous about this battle. He said, I think the words are coming up, "Never in the field of human conflict has so much been owed by so many to so few." So he's speaking there of the Battle of Britain. "Never in the field of human conflict has so much been owed by so many to so few." They were few in number. So the people who took part in the Battle of Britain, I think it was 2,367 pilots took part in the Battle of Britain. 446 of them were killed. But their actions had a massive impact on huge numbers of people, on millions. Their actions have had an impact on our lives. Many tales of courage and bravery have come out of that time. And one is the story of Sergeant John Hanna. I'm going to tell you a bit about him. On the picture that comes up, he's the guy, well, he's on the left. He's the smaller of the two. And John Hanna, he was a wireless operator on a mission to attack a German position. This is the night of the 15th of September, 1940. And the plane that he was in was hit by some anti-aircraft fire that was coming from this German position. And an intense fire broke out in the bomb compartment of the plane. And the fire began to spread rapidly. Two other of the airmen on board, they bailed out. You can't blame them for that. And you wouldn't have blamed Sergeant John Hanna for bailing out and opening up his parachute either. But he didn't. He would have been justified in doing that, but he didn't do that. He stayed. And making his way through the fire, he got hold of two fire extinguishers, and he sprayed them on the fire, trying to put the fire out. One emptied, fire was still going. Got hold of the other, tried to put the fire out, fire still going, extinguisher empty. So then he got his logbook, his flight logbook, and he tried to bat it out. Fire still going, fire still spread. In the end, he threw himself on the fire and he used his body and his hands to put the fire out. During that time, the fire triggered off thousands of rounds of ammunition. So there's bullets flying around all of the time as well as he's doing that. All in this plane, bullets flying everywhere, but he kept going and he stayed. And he received severe burns to his hands, his face, and his eyes. But he did manage to put the fire out. And then he went to the cockpit and he helped that man there fly the plane safely home. And it did get safely home. He displayed tremendous courage and tremendous devotion to duty. In fact, they said that it was of the highest order. And because of that, they awarded him a medal. The highest medal for courage and bravery that any British and Commonwealth serviceman or woman can receive. Do you know what that medal is? The VC, the Victoria Cross. And there's a picture of it. It says, for valor on it. He was awarded that medal. Sadly, just a few months later, just after the end of the war, 1947, so a few years later, he died. And he died as a result of those burns. And he's remembered now as a hero. Well, that's 75 years ago. And the sad thing is that war continues, doesn't it? War continues in our world. One dictator like Hitler is defeated, and then another one seems to appear somewhere else. The world is just, it's a mess. It's full of selfishness, it's full of cruelty, it's full of pain, it's full of suffering. Do you know that since the beginning of World War I, which we're continuing to remember as 100 years ago, but since the beginning of World War I, over 3 million servicemen and women have died in conflict. And many continue to die today. Just last month, in October, some servicemen died in Afghanistan. In the face of so many deaths, in the face of so much chaos in the world, in the face of so much violence in the world, we can find ourselves confused, can't we? We can find ourselves fearful. We can find ourselves very frustrated. What's going on? Asking questions. Is there any answer? And is there any hope? And the wonderful truth is that there is an answer and there is hope. And for that answer and for that hope, we need to look to another battle. And we need to look to another death, the death of another young man. And we need to look to another cross. Not a military medal, but a place of execution. And this battle that I want us to think about this morning for a few moments, it took place not in Flanders or in Normandy or in the skies above Britain, but this battle took place on a hill in Jerusalem. And it took place 2,000 years ago. In the world's eyes, it wasn't an honorable death that this young man died. It was one that was reserved for the worst kind of criminals. To be nailed to a cross was a shameful death. It was a humiliating death. And as Jesus of Nazareth hung on that cross, the crowds around him mocked him. They made fun of him. They hurled insults at him. And for the majority of people there watching that death, That cross was a sign of weakness, a sign of shame, a sign of failure, a sign of defeat. But there is more to this death than meets the eye. As Jesus died, something of vast importance was happening. Something of universal significance was going on. Something that impacts our lives and our world and its future. Because this man is different to other men. And this death is very different to other deaths. The Bible draws back the curtain and enables us to see what that is. And Revelation chapter 5 helps us. That's what it's about. At Revelation, the book of Revelation, is a revelation of Jesus. It's a vision of Jesus given to the Apostle John by God. So in graphic picture language, we see the wonderful truth about Jesus. And here in Revelation 5, Jesus is portrayed as a lamb. Verse 6, as a lamb looking as if it had been slain, but now alive and standing on the throne in heaven. He has seven horns, which is a symbol of perfect power. So this lamb who died is the all-powerful one. He is the one who rules the universe. He's on the throne of the universe. It's a striking picture, isn't it? It's a striking picture. It couldn't be more different to that one. The dead one is now the living one. The weak one is now the powerful one. The defeated one is now the victorious one. The shamed one is now the glorious one. The one despised and mocked as worthless and insignificant is now praised and worshipped by countless angels, and every creature in heaven and on earth worship him as worthy. Verse 12, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. So this tells us who Jesus is. It tells us that he is the divine Son of God that he claimed to be. That he is the Christ, God's chosen King who rules the world. There is no one greater than Jesus. There is no one more powerful than Jesus. He is all-ruling and all-powerful. And the question is, how does Jesus use his immense power? And he uses his immense power in two ways. Firstly, he judges rebels. He judges rebels. Just turn over to chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. It's page 1238. Now, the message of the Bible, including the book of Revelation, is dominated by a day. A day. The day. Not D-Day. Not V-E Day. Not V-J Day. But J-Day. Judgment Day. A day in the future when Jesus will return and judge everyone who's ever lived. A great day of reckoning when evil and rebellion against God will be destroyed. Verse 16, this is all people called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it? Judgment Day, the day when Jesus comes back. It's actually good news. Scary news, but it's good news. A day of ultimate justice is coming when everything that is bad about this world is going to be done away. Jesus Christ will put everything right, and he will bring in a new world. It's a very different place to the world that we live in now. This new world is a place with no wars, no fighting, no violence, no terrorist attacks, no planes being bombed from the sky. Victoria Crosses will no longer be awarded. Remembrance services will no longer be held. Funerals will no longer be necessary because it will be a place where no one dies, ever. Wouldn't it be great to live in a world like that? The great news is we can. We can. And it's possible for us to be there. How? It's a good question. How? It's a perfect place. And only perfect people can be there. And we're not perfect. We're sinful. We've all rebelled against God, and we all contribute to the pain of the world. We all deserve God's judgment, and what's more, we can't free ourselves from this terrible situation. The Bible says that by sinning, we've allowed ourselves to be enslaved by the devil, and he wants to take us down with him, and he's too strong for us. So how can we survive this J-Day, this day of judgment? And how can we go to be with God in his perfect world? How can we be set free from our sin? How can we be set free from the power of the devil? Well, that brings us to the second way Jesus uses his great power. The first way he uses his great power is he judges rebels. Secondly, he uses his great power to rescue rebels. He rescues rebels. We see this in chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Heaven sings these words to Jesus. Chapter 5, let's flick back. Verse 9, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals." That's to carry out God's plan of salvation. "Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God and reign with him." So you see here, Jesus uses his great power to purchase, to buy men and women for God, to rescue them from Satan and sin and condemnation, and to bring them into the new creation where they will serve God and they will reign with God forever. And how does Jesus do this? Through the cross, through his death. That's how he does it. The king on the throne is the lamb who was slain. Jesus saves his people through his death. He rescues with his blood. He laid down his life as a sacrifice, as a payment for our sins. He suffered God's just anger against human sin. He did that in our place. He did it for us. He suffered the punishment we deserve so that we can be free. Free from Satan, free from sin, free from God's just condemnation, free to be with God in God's new world. So far from being a place of defeat and failure, the cross was a place of victory, great victory. The resurrection tells us that. This is the victorious cross. The place where Jesus used his immense power to win the most important battle of all time. And to bring about the greatest victory of all time. On the cross, Jesus defeated once and for all everything that would keep us away from God. Everything that would keep us away from this glorious future. He defeated sin. He defeated Satan. He defeated death. And the way for us now, the way for us to come to God is open. Jesus is the way. If we trust in Jesus, we will be saved. Because of the work of Jesus, the one man, because of his work, the Bible says that many will be saved. And in Revelation 7, you might just like to turn to it as we finish. In Revelation 7, from verse 9 onwards, we've got this glorious picture of, verse 9, a vast multitude of people from every single part of the world enjoying God forever in the new creation. It's a crowd so huge that it's too big to count. What are they doing, these people? Well, we see that they're praising the Lamb. Verse 10, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That's what they're doing. They're praising Jesus. They're expressing their gratitude to the one who's destroyed evil and saved them. And that's where history is heading. And here we see there is an answer to the injustice and the pain and the chaos that we see in this world. And there is hope in the midst of the mess. And it's a wonderful truth. So this morning we've been thinking about two crosses, haven't we? The Victoria Cross. Let's have a picture of that one. A Victoria Cross, that reminds us this morning of those who bravely have fought for our freedom. And it's right to remember them. It's right to remember the few who help the many. But the Victoria Cross, as you look at that medal, it also reminds us that we live in a world gone wrong, doesn't it? The fact that those things have to be awarded. We live in a world that is not right. A world in rebellion against its creator. And it reminds us, that Victoria Cross, of our own sinfulness. And the danger that we ourselves are in. But it also points to the solution. And what great hope we can have for the future. Because it's a cross. It's in the shape of a cross. And it points to the victorious cross. Let's remind ourselves of the victorious cross. It reminds us of Jesus Christ, the one man who gave his life as a ransom for many. One man, one death, evil defeated, countless millions saved. Never in the course of human history have so many owed so much to just one man. The God-man, Jesus Christ. And today, we should remember Jesus. Today, we should honor Jesus. If we want to be safe on the day of judgment, and if we want to be part of the many in God's perfect new world, then today we should turn from our sin and put our trust in Jesus, the one man who has done it all for the many.